Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Good morning. My name's Yvette, and if you're a visitor here, I'm part of the team, and you're very, very welcome. And let me do one little announcement before I open God's Word with us today. Two things, really. I just wanted to thank our CAP money team. CAP stands for Christians Against Poverty, and tomorrow night is the third night of our CAP money course. So you can't sign up to this one, but there will be others in the future. But I just want to thank our CAP team because all 12 of them who work hard together, they lead a CAP course in threes, and they do that throughout the year. But it is really good to have CAP money in our church right now. It is very valuable to lots of people, and they do a great job. So I just want to honor them and to let you know that if you would like to learn some great budgeting tools, money skills that will strengthen your financial situation right now, that is available. There are other courses coming up. There is one on the Journey Church starting this Tuesday night. It'll be two Tuesday nights in a row. If you want to learn more about that, ask me, ask us, and we will have another course coming up in the future, and you can tell us in advance if that's of interest to you. We also have had the benefit of having Bryson Care, a local organization, work with us recently to offer people £200 towards the cost of living crisis at the moment. There is some criteria on that, but it is open to anyone with an income of £26,500 or less, an annual income of £26,500 or less, and you are eligible for £200 cost of living. Now, I know that the £600 vouchers that everybody is going to get is coming out. And so because of that, the criteria slightly changed on that. You no longer need to send a photo, paperwork, or proof that you only have 5 to 7 days of fuel left, because we understand that you might have got your 600 and so you can't prove that. And you no longer need to prove, let me see what the other thing is. Oh, you no longer need to prove by showing your bank account that you have £300 disposable income left to have the food. So if you were disqualified for any reason from that because you received your £600 vouchers, or you were disqualified from that, that criteria is a bit easier to get into. And please do take advantage of that. We've had around 30 people in our church community who've received that, and it's been very, very helpful. Don't discount yourself. Apply. You just simply take this form off the back, give it back to me, or put it into the black giving box in our foyer. And it's just me that processes that. I know there's a lot of privacy that's important to you. Only I will see that. Only I will process that. And it's Bryson's professional team who will look after you from there in. So, announcement over. I just thought it was wonderful that God chose to speak through a tongue this morning. If that's new to you, please speak to us. Don't leave the church going, that's weird. Because it's a biblical principle. We know it well, and there is trust in that. What we trust and what we love is that God still speaks today. And that's the most important thing to us. Everything else we can learn together, journey through conversation, and through understanding his word. But I'm so pleased that he gave that word of, and I'm going to repeat it because it's important when God speaks that we hear his voice. And literally his word was, hear my still small voice. And that's really important. If God's speaking that to us, let's listen. And even today as we were sitting there, I felt like God would have me encourage you that he wants to speak to a number of you today. And particularly I felt there were people in the room that the Father wanted to reveal Jesus and his love for them and his death on the cross for them and his salvation in their lives for the first or a renewed time. And rather than leave that to the end and do the put your hand up thing, which I'm not going to do, I'm just going to ask you to be available and listen to his small voice. As I speak, it doesn't matter actually what I'm going to say, because I think Jesus wants to speak to you today. So listen to his voice, and he will speak. And sometimes it's a lot quieter than you think it is going to be. I had the joy of my mum and dad watching on TV this morning. It was really weird. My mum was like, watching you on TV? I was like, Mum, that is so weird. Actually, funny story, and I mustn't tell too many funny stories because we're tight on time today, but I was in the spa shop during lockdown, and this person literally ran up to me in spa, embraced me, and shouted really loud, I love watching you on TV! I had a total disconnect to church at that point. I didn't know until I got back to the car, which she was talking about. I looked around, everybody else thought I was like Vicky McClure or something, and I had no idea what they were talking about. And then I got back to the car and I was like, Hannah and Joel, this woman just said this funniest moment. Anyway, that is not what I'm here to say this morning. And actually, what I'm about to say is not funny at all, so I have no idea why I segued. I should have stayed in the small voice of God. Posture yourselves again. I'm going to share a little bit of a story of my experience this past week or so, and it's not just a story, but it's amazing how when we're invited to speak on a scripture, how even when you feel it's like beyond you, God gives you the scripture that you're living at the time so that you can speak from it. And if you're not used to reading God's word, notice when you do that it's often very applicable to your life at the time. And the scripture that we're going to look at today is in Isaiah 61, and it's verse 3. So why don't you take your time, because I'm not going to rush us to read it as yet, but open it up. Isaiah 61, if you have a black Bible around you, which we've provided on the seats, feel free to lift those. It's page 511. And Isaiah 61 is a series that we're studying at the moment, and we are in verse 3 today. But let me tell you where I'm coming to you from today. So I'm coming to you today in a place of grief, because a few months ago you would know that I asked you to pray for my auntie. You know, one of those aunties is not actually your auntie, but she's really your auntie. She's one of those aunties. And she's been around my life my whole life, never missed a birthday, and funnily enough has lived around pretty much, we've moved a couple of countries, and she's moved and been in the same country at the same time as us, including when Joel and Hannah were born here. She got a job in Lisbon at that time, just happened, and she was around when my kids were born. She's followed all their birthdays through, and she's prayed for me my whole life. And actually, one of the lovely things, which I will mention, is when we moved from South Africa, we went to live in her house for 6 weeks, and it was in her house, at her church, that Jesus spoke to me really clearly for the first time when I was 9, almost turning 10. And it was there that I had a revelation, sounds like a grand word, it's the best word I can do, of the love of Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross for me, and my need for his forgiveness. And it was with her. And this week, I went to spend some time with her in England because she's in the last few days of her life. And she'll pass away any day. It's one of those moments where we're waiting for her to pass. She went into hospice on Monday. When we went to see her, she was in the hospital. And actually, it was lovely. When we arrived last Thursday, she really got a moment of energy that allowed us to have all those conversations that you want to have. And I just counted that, and she counted that as a real gift. The morphine subsided and we could talk, which was really good. And Uncle Graham was there. My mum took me and we took Hannah with us. So the three girls together with Auntie Sandy, and we had all those conversations. One of the most beautiful things we got to do was I woke up on Saturday morning and I just felt like Jesus said to share communion with her. So I took communion and we sat in the hospital, and in between the noises of everything, we just closed our eyes, took communion together, read some psalms, and just listened to Jesus. And actually, I'm reminded of Lissania's voice because Graham's phone kept going off during communion, bless him, and he couldn't quite get it to turn off. And she just said to him, listen to Jesus, Graham, turn off your phone, listen to Jesus. And it was that moment where we got to lots of moments to just listen to Jesus together. I'm so glad that my Auntie Sandy knows Jesus. I'm going to see her one day in heaven. And she has lived a life knowing Jesus well. And yet this week we have sat in grief. And I'm so glad that we sang The Lord's My Shepherd during worship today. I didn't ask them to sing that, but it was beautifully meaningful to me because I sat with that verse with Uncle Graham this week and my mum. And The Lord's My Shepherd, Psalm 23, is a verse we go to when people are passing or they have passed. And the words of that are so important. So thank you, James and Hannah, for singing that. Also, we sang this morning, Awake My Soul. Awake my soul and sing. And I found this week, as we've sat in grief, the waiting and the listening to God in the still small voice has urged me to remain in that place and to listen more deeply and more carefully. I have a book that a friend's given me that just helps you see God as both a living and a dying God, and that he meets us and speaks to us in our place of grief. When we were worshiping this morning, some of the words said, and his body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb. But then the next line says, O trample death, where is your sting? The angels sing for Christ the King. And as we worshiped this morning, I was reminded of the power of worship and opening our hearts to God, even in grief. And I recognize that so many of you have experienced grief far beyond what I've ever experienced. Not that grief is ever, you know, a hierarchy. But if you have and you are experiencing grief, I apologize if it's been hard to hear that, but I do ask the Father to be with you in your grief this morning. And may we wait in those times and see the value of them. And so I mentioned that, isn't it wonderful where God would have you in a scripture to speak from it that speaks exactly into your situation so that you can speak out of that. So I tell you that story as an illustration of the verse today. Let's have a look at Isaiah 61, verse 3 together. And we've already read over the last 2 weeks, verses 1 and 2. Verse 3 says, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And that's as far as we're going to go on that verse today. But Isaiah 61 is a very special verse to me. I've read it since I was young. I've recognized and understood by really looking at it that it is the person of Jesus Christ. It's a prophetic declaration to the people of Israel that their Messiah is coming. But it talks a lot to us about Jesus, our Savior. And it also points us to the ministry that he has called us to as the people of God. And so we're looking at Isaiah 61 together because we feel that it's a very important and informative scripture to us as a church, to every church. But we recognize that particularly here in ours, we've chosen that to shape us and to meditate on us. And in fact, it was read at Mark and my wedding, and we think about it and we use it lots to inspire, keeping ourselves on point, keeping our eye on the ball and asking Jesus, where would you have us be? What would you have us do? Isaiah 61 guides us in that. Even though it is an ancient scripture, it keeps our eyes on the prize. And that's the wonderful thing about the scripture and the word of God, because it's God-breathed, inspired by the Spirit, it never goes out of date. God will always speak to us, and he will always speak to us through his word. So Isaiah is an Old Testament book. And if you look at that line in verse 3 where it starts with, I had a question when I read it. It says, to provide for those who grieve in Zion. And a lot of people, the first question will be, well, why are they grieving and who are the people in Zion? That is a funny word that I have never heard before, you might say. Well, let's have a look at that, because Isaiah is not only a book in the Old Testament, but Isaiah was also a prophet, a man. What is a prophet? Well, a prophet receives messages or insight from God, mainly concerning events, and then he tells those, or she tells those, and conveys them, maybe for a future event, but to a certain group of people. And Isaiah was a prophetic man who spoke to the group of people who were Israel at that time. Israel were a group of people that had chosen to focus their posture on God, his practices, and his worship. But at the time that Isaiah lived, their worship was very shallow and what you would call almost idolatrous. This was a time when their community was being broken by greed. It was a time when those in charge did not look after the poor, they did not protect the vulnerable, and it was an eventful time with lots of kings of Israel. If you read through Isaiah, you read about lots of kings of Israel and Judah. It was a time of wickedness and unfaithfulness, and at this time God raised up a prophet to speak. In fact, he raised up several prophets. If you look after Isaiah, there are another 16 prophets before we get to the New Testament and Jesus arrives. So God spoke to his chosen people, and he spoke to them, and he said that he had a plan to redeem them and deliver them with the Messiah. Now, we know that's Jesus, but they didn't. They were anticipating the Messiah coming. And in this society, with its shallow worship, its greed, and more, he raised up this prophet. Now, imagine this, because we have in our hands a Bible. It's a piece of paper, it's written down, it's very familiar, which makes it kind of clinical and clean. But for him, he heard directly from God, like we did this morning, and he had to stand up and speak that out. Now, imagine bringing a word of judgment or hope to a culture that was counter to what you were about to speak out. And he didn't have to do that in a nice, neat way. He had to like go into the middle of Bow Street, in the middle of Belfast City Centre, and shout this out. There's no microphone, so he had to physically assert himself. He probably went alone. He probably looked a bit different, and he shouted out, I know this is what's happening, but let me bring something opposite. And he would have been rejected and ridiculed. He might have doubted himself. He might have felt like a fool, but he brought the word of God into a countercultural situation. And he brought that to the people of Zion. The people of Zion basically are the people who are living in God's land, his chosen people. And that word, the people of Zion, applies to them in Israel, but also now applies to us, God's people. And he brought a word to them in their moment of grief. Now, why were they grieving? Back then, living in God's land was really important to the Israelites. It was their sense of belonging and identity. Due to the power of many kings, they had been moved about from their land, stripped of their identity in brutal ways, and were a people wandering without place, and then they eventually came back to their land. But when they returned to their land, and you would have thought they would have been settled, they had lost so much. The resettlement in their homeland and the rebuilding of the temple hadn't turned out quite as glorious as they hoped. They were having a stark reality check in this setting. Their nation would never be truly independent again. Israel would never be as prosperous, as important as it was in the glory days under David and Solomon. The new temple could never match the remembered magnificent temple of the original. And that's why the people were mourning in their own land, in Zion, crying for the loss of the good old days. They knew they would never return, and that represented to them and to their God, they felt, utter failure. In a sense, it represented the death of dreams, of a dream, a collective dream for them together as a community. And human nature being what it was, any hopes they had seemed flawed in every way. So they were living in a state of grief and loss. And in turn, then, because of that, I would imagine it was because of that, they stopped acting right or justly. Their worship became minimal. Their greed increased. And they did not look out for the poor or the vulnerable. Doesn't that often happen in times when we feel loss? We turn inward rather than outward. It's a natural human response that happens many, many times, and many of us know it. They were broken people sitting in a state of grief and despair, and it was difficult to find a person who had their eyes on God, his holy ways, his justice, his rule, his desire for worship. And into this, that attitude that they had, God says to them, I'm not coming to judge you this time. I'm going to provide for you those who grieve in Zion, who live in my promised land, who are living in despair. I will provide for you. And he raises up Isaiah to speak into the situation, to declare hope and life, and to declare what God wants. Now, we often talk about God coming and us giving our lives to God's kingdom coming, praying it in, living lives. And basically, God's kingdom coming is where we learn to do, to be, and to look to what God wants, and enabling that through our lives and serving that so that what God wants happens. Let's read Isaiah 61 and have a look by reading the first few verses over again, some of the things that God wants. Now remember, when we're reading this out, there's lots of perspectives here. This is a word spoken to Israel who are in grief and lost. It's also still, the embodiment. Jesus read it out in the temple himself. We read that in Luke 4, and he declared that by his own ministry. And then because he handed that ministry to us to continue, this is our ministry too. So with those three perspectives, if you're clever enough, I'm not, we're going to read Isaiah 61 again. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And next week, we're going to look at that oaks of righteousness verse. What's important to draw from this verse today? First of all, it's important to draw whatever you want from God's living, breathing scripture, whatever he's spoken to you about today. But some points for me to help you just quickly as we close. God still speaks today. He proved that this morning. He speaks in a still voice when we listen. He speaks in our grief. And if we sit in those times, we're allowed to linger and wait and listen, because he will speak and he will provide for us. But he speaks and he provides for you wherever you are. And today we're choosing to learn and to practice that he will provide when we are in grief. And the wonderful thing about Isaiah 61 that I have learned this week is I have seen this always often as a triumphal scripture of the things that we are called to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom. I will do that with my life, to release from darkness the prisoners. I will dedicate myself to that, to give good news to the poor. I want us to live lives doing that. But then he stops me and he says, and even when you're grieving, I will provide. And I will still call you into this ministry, into this provision. I will provide for you in such a way that you can carry my kingdom, live as Jesus did, even from a place of grief. And I want to finish there. I had a little picture, but you know I'm going to stop because it's 10:02. Okay, show the picture. So the picture I had illustrates those three verses. I love to paint. I haven't painted for a while, but if I was to paint those three parts of verse 3, this is what I would see. I would see a person curled on the floor in a ball of despair, and I would paint someone crying and grieving. And then I would put another figure in that picture. I would paint God coming in to provide for them. And he would place a crown of flowers on their head while they're down there on the floor kneeling. And as he placed that crown of flowers on their head, which speaks of beauty, he would wipe away their tears and the ashes that are on their forehead. Ashes represented then grieving and mourning. And God would wipe those away, and then he would get some oil out, and he'd put the oil on their head, which represents healing and chosenness and recognition and anointing. And he would place that on their head. And then as they lifted their head with those oil and those flowers that he's placed on them, I would see some gladness just in the cracks of the corner of their mouth. And I would look closely to recognize that, because you could almost miss it. And before they got to say anything, Jesus would lift his hand to them and bring them up just to a sitting, kneeling position. He wouldn't expect them to stand. And then as they did, he would place on them this garment. Quite a simple cloth, but something that's very precious to him. And he would call that praise. And he placed that on their shoulders. And that's the picture I saw when I read Isaiah 61. And the wonderful thing about that garment was I realized that he wasn't asking that person to muster up praise from in themselves, but he placed it on their shoulders. And that really struck me, that when they were in a spirit of despair, he placed the garment of praise on them. And I'm still asking the Holy Spirit what he would have me learn from that. And so let me finish by praying for us. And simply, I want to pray so that you can hear God's still small voice. And I hope I don't interrupt it, but rather we create a space now as we pray for you to hear him speak to you. And James and Hannah, I think, are going to play a song to help us close and reflect as well. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God, that with your love, you speak to us quietly but clearly. Teach us your ways. May we hear your voice. Come and sit with us, living and dying God. May we hear the word made flesh. And may the word of God become flesh, even in our tears and in our despair. And we pray for all of those who stand on the edge of life and death or have been there recently. Would you comfort them, God? Father, we ask that you, by your Spirit, you would come into our midst now with your garments of praise and place them on each of our shoulders, that we would, without undue effort, receive that garment of praise from you again afresh, and teach us by your Spirit what that means. Would you anoint our heads with oil? Would you place a fresh garland on our heads, that we would receive gladness instead of mourning? So come, Holy Spirit, speak to each of us as we praise, as we worship you now, and we practice that. Would you speak to us? And we choose to worship you with our whole lives, not just through song, but with our whole selves. And we thank you that you're a loving, caring God. We worship you. Amen.